Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to our weekly internet program. You're on a Free on the Inside. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you listen to an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you can be in God's kingdom. We're for a great time this morning here. We had a ministry team on the line this morning. They're going to come and they're going to share with us their gift and their talent and their desire to change the life of someone. You know, as you log on to the show, you'll see a template that says, help change a life. You know, we can't do anything apart from God. But if we can unite with ministries and other programs that are trying to make a difference for the kingdom's sake, you too can be effective at the things that God put to your hands to do. Now, without any further delay, I'd like to bring on a couple of the ministry members from God is Alive Ministry. And they're going to share with us what their ministry is all about. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to our program. Welcome. Please introduce yourself here. We'll start off with Ted and then John and then Dave.
Hi, I'm Ted Budgett from Ford and Heaven.
Dad. John and Dave.
My name is John, Brother John Vaughn. I'm with the prison ministry in Beaumont, Texas.
All right, then. I'm David Vaughn, and I work with Dad here in the Beaumont, Texas area, and we're just excited to work in the prison ministry to help guys minister to them behind the fence and beyond the fence. We're glad to be here this morning.
That's great. Thank you for coming aboard here. And you have a powerful ministry. I was looking at the website here. We got the other gentlemen that's coming in right now, and let's see here. Let's bring in. Okay, they're not on here just yet, though. Now, tell us about the ministry. We'll start off with you, Pastor, and then Dave, and then Ted.
Praise God, giving God all glory and all honor this morning. It is a blessing to be able to share with you what the Lord has done in our lives and through our ministry. Several years ago, about 21 years ago, I was minding my own business, and my pastor came to me and asked me if I would do the prison ministry for our church. I belong to the Mount Sinai Missionary Baptist Church in Port Arthur. And I explained to him that I don't go to jail. I don't go to prison. And his challenge to me was to go and see what it was like, and if I didn't like it, come back and let him know, and he would replace me. So I took him up on that, and I went on to the Mark Stiles prison, and there, when the guys began to come in, and I was looking at all the white suits coming in, my question was, what can I say to these convicted criminals that would help them in any way? And while I was there pondering over what could I say to these people, the Lord entered in and told me to shut my mouth because I was out of order. And when he began to deal with me and ask me what sin did I have that was better than any sin that they had committed, I wasn't there to judge, I was there to minister. And when the Lord finished ministering to me about the ministry, I took hold. And I've now been in the prison now for 21 years. And my motto was, when I went into prison, was to shut the prison down. And I began to minister to the fact that I can't do the job by myself. I need help. And as men began to leave prison and began to change, lives being changed, and I saw the need for expanding the ministry. So several years later, we started an outreach ministry where I was reaching out to the brothers who were leaving prison and ministering to them from home and letting them know that if they stay in touch and stay connected to the vine, that they're meeting, that they could do better in life. And so that's where we went from there. And ministry just took hold. And Later on, my wife came in and she began to work with the women at the county jail, and then later on, my son joined us in the ministry, and I found out that you can't kill a tree by cutting off limbs. And I was inside the prison. I was cutting off limbs. I was pruning trees and sending them back out. I found out that the only way that you can kill a tree is by cutting it at the root. And the only way I can cut it at the root, I had to go in the neighborhoods. I had to go in the communities, and I began to minister in the communities. If I could kill a tree before it started growing, I don't have to worry about it prospering. And so that's where we began. We started a ministry in the Third Ward in Houston.
Restoration Celebration.
Restoration Celebration, we began to minister. And for 2 years, we did that ministry. So today, Restoration Celebration is still alive. But my son, David will probably tell you about it. He carries every morning he sends out scriptures to all of the guys that are left. The Lord has blessed us in this ministry. So today, we have been blessed to have approximately 11 pastors and I don't know how many deacons. And many members, many men have left here and gone on back home, and they are now serving the Lord, and they're doing great in their communities. There are people working in Austin, Texas, people working in San Antonio, Texas. God is enhancing this ministry. Eric Pinnick, I hope he's on the line. Eric has been on this. Y'all have to excuse me. I'm very emotional when I get to this ministry because it requires a lot of you. It's something that when God began to deal with you in this ministry, it requires you to give over. You can't look at you anymore. You have to look at what God is doing. And so, 1998, I had the opportunity to meet Eric Pinnick, and Eric was one of the young men that I teach a class in prison pastoral ministry. In the prison. Eric happened to be one of the young men that I worked with while he was in prison. And we have stayed in contact over the years. We've constantly stayed in contact with each other. And when he came in the other day and we talked about starting this ministry, I thought we were talking about a long range deal, but he came back the next day and hit us with the God's Alive ministry. And here we are today trying to tell you, working with you to let you know that God is real and he's about saving, he's about healing, he's working in the land. And any help that we can get to expand this ministry, to show forth what God wants us to do, and I'm excited. I'm excited about how these ministries work, and I just want to do what it is that the Lord would have me to do. I'm gonna shut up and give it over to David because I can go on, but I will be back sometime during the program.
All right, great. Before we bring David on, we have a couple of more of your members that came on, and we want to say hello to them. We have Miss Moore here that's on the line here. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Moore.
Hello, Ms. Moore. Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. Will you please introduce yourself to our ministry and tell us how did you come about being a part of this? And then we also have Eric on the line. So I'll tell you what, why don't you just introduce yourself, and then we're going to bring Eric on, and then we'll come back with you because I want you to be able to share why this ministry is so important to you.
Okay, sounds great. Good morning. My name again is Tanya Moore, and I'm so glad to be here. I actually became a part of the ministry as a result of Eric Pinnick. I had an opportunity to work with him a while back. I was one of the leads at a ministry, Exodus Ministries, out of Dallas, Texas. We housed former offenders and their families, and I was actually at one point got an opportunity to form a down payment assistance program, and that's how I connected with Eric. So I'm here, so glad to be here.
Well, great. God bless you. Now we're going to bring Eric in. We have Mike on the line there. We're going to say hello to Mike. And good morning, Mike.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Great. I'm doing great. Thank you. Welcome aboard here. And we're going to bring Eric in, and we're going to come back with you, Mike, and let you share your experience in the ministry. But we want to bring Eric on, and we're just going to kick back and just let God do his thing. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to be here. How are you this morning?
Hey, man, you're late.
Oh, I was on time. I had to listen to you. I listened to you, but, you know, I kind of waited on you. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I, you know, I won't argue with you about it. If I'm late to you, I'm late. I never late, though. I never late. Good morning to everybody.
Well,
I'm glad we're...
I am so glad to have everyone aboard here, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and the ministry team. I'm excited about it. I looked at the website, Eric, and it's a beautiful website, very informative. But will you share with us, share with our listening audience, what the essence of this here ministry is all about?
Well, I'll give you a tidbit, and then David will. We said David's going to be stand-up guy, so we'll put him out front this time. So, but one of the things that has been pressing in my heart, and Joel, you know, I was incarcerated, Pastor Vaughn said I was incarcerated. And, you know, I have a fairly decent background, educational background. So when I came home and a business background, when I came home, I still had problems. You know, and I worked over the last 15 years to go through these problems of interfacing with my family, interfacing with other people, determining how I felt about myself being out in the public. And I realized that after a while that even though I felt good or I was confident, I had a lot of things that I was burdens that I would carry, and I had no one to share them with. Don't get me wrong, I had Pastor Vaughn I could call, and that was a blessing. I had Garland Flakes, and I had my brother Mike, who's on the phone, who walked through me with me through all this time for the last 15 years. But, you know, on an individual one-to-one basis, sometimes people don't have those same people that I have. And, you know, I was blessed, as I said, to have Michael. So I tell Mike, hey, I'm happy to go to, let's go, Mike. We need to go to this meeting I'm going to. Mike wouldn't even know what the meeting was. Next thing you know, Mike is volunteering to go into prisons. You know, I didn't ask him. I just kind of set him up, and he would go, and he kept going. And so he's been that faithful person that's gone with me. But most people don't have that, and that started bothering me. I started looking at the halfway shelters, and nothing against them, but I understand that when you give a person something to eat, and then you send him back out on the street, the same habit. He's actually having a recurring habit. It's like, and the only thing he does is go out on the street, maybe get in mischief, maybe end up in jail, maybe end up doing a lot of different other things, but he comes back to that place, eats, and then goes back. Same thing with prison. We keep saying we have 80% recidivism, but what are we doing beyond just talking to him or just sending him out into the world and saying, here's a list of projects or programs or things you can go to. Well, you know, it started bothering me because the Holy Spirit just told me that it's not right. And I've been striving, as you know, Joel, to deal with different programs and ministries. And but God said, let's get them all together. Let's have all the resources you have. Put your tentacles out to everybody you know, and I will head this up. Because the head of this program, Our God is Alive, is not us. And we're not just one program. We're many. And so Our God is Alive is allowing us to come together to help other people. And I'm going to say one thing, and I'm going to let David and Mike talk, because it really I want to hear what they have to say, because God has inspired their words today for them to reach out to others. But one of the things that we know is very important, and the most important thing is that when we're through helping you, you know, then your job is to go out and help someone else. Be part of the ministry. You know, when we finish... When Pastor Vaughn finished with us, it was my job to go home and be part of the ministry. You know, but what we're saying to people now is we're making sure that we're emphatic about understanding that. Mike and I go into youth prison, and we always have started wondering, what are we going to do? How can we connect with these kids after they get out of prison? What do we need to do? How do we get a program started? And that's kind of where Our God is Alive really started flourishing. And then we went down to Beaumont. And we started realizing, man, this is even more than this. God has given us more than this, Mike. What do you think? And we rolled back from Beaumont talking about, yeah, I think God has given us more than this. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? And I know that if God is in charge, and I don't need to wait. You know, so write it down. You know, and once you write it down, wait for the vision for it shall tarry. But when it comes, it shall not tarry. And I always used to contemplate on that and try to determine, what the heck does that mean? It just means that when I write it down, I need to be preparing myself
preparing myself for what God has for me. And the preparation is over because he said once it's prepared and it's written down and other people can run with it, then we need to go ahead and do what he wants us to do. And basically I learned just to stay out of God's way and allow God to be God and for me to be here at Kenneth and just you know, because he put all these people together. I didn't even put them together. God did. So that's what I appreciate it, Joe, and I'm going to either pass the mic or to Tanya or to David and allow them to go ahead and tell you the rest of the story.
Oh, God bless you. We'll go ahead and hear from David, and then we'll speak with Tanya.
All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is David Vaughn. I'm also associate minister at the Mount Sinai Missionary Baptist Church here in Port Arthur, Texas. And first giving all praise and honor to God who allowed us to just have this opportunity to share with you or to share in God's kingdom building process. I want to say thanks to Dad and thanks to Eric for being the type of examples, and my mom and my uncle for being the type of examples that you need to move in this kind of ministry. I'm excited about this ministry, Our God is Alive, because Eric has helped us look at being able to work behind the fence and then beyond the fence. We're pretty fortunate because at this present time, Dad and I serve at the LeBlanc unit where we have first Sunday, third Sunday, and fourth Sunday. And so we were talking and we were thinking as we preach that we might want to begin to invite other organizations in to talk to our young men as they're being released back to their homes, because at the LeBlanc unit they only have 6 months left before they get back to their families. And so as Dad has stated before, in addition to our preaching, we also teach classes throughout the week. He teaches pastoral ministries. My mom teaches Making Peace with Your Past. And now I'm involved in spiritual boot camp. And so we're able to touch these young men at least for the whole 6 months. And then as Eric came back and said, you guys need to get really serious about what it is you're doing. And Dad was saying, we need to shut this prison down. We can't shut it down by cutting off limbs, so we need to hit it at the root. So now we're looking at, through the grace of God, putting together a program whereby we can talk with the guys here while they're at the LeBlanc unit and then be able to maintain a relationship with them at home. And so just in brevity, we want to try to look at rescuing the guys, rehabilitating the guys, and then restoring them in the name of Jesus. And, of course, all of that takes place under worship. I truly believe that true change cannot take place until God becomes important and real in our lives, that we realize that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that's how we begin to make it. Dad has been right. He's been setting up pastors and sending guys home. And now we're trying to give them tools that they might be better husbands, better sons, better fathers. I'm looking at John 15:8 here, and it says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And I'm just hoping and praying that we get to do some of the ministry that God has called us to do. And because we've been faithful and going in Sunday after Sunday and year after year, we're hoping now that we'll be able to set up the kind of relationships whereby we can continue to touch these guys and help restore families. As Eric stated before, the whole deal is to partner with other ministries that are out there. I'm going to be quiet and let Tanya and Mike talk, but before I do, I just wanted to share that when we were approached about expanding our ministry, Dad and I just looked at each other and was like, well, I like preaching on Sunday, but we can allow people to come in and say a few words. And what happened is, this is December, but to show you how God works, in October, one of our guys who had gone home, he was an SI at the unit, he brought in Mercy Hearts. So we had James Guerrera and Mercy Hearts come in and talk to the guys. That was in October. And then in November, Eric shows up, and Eric and Mike show up, and they begin to talk about Our God is Alive. And so now we're in December. We're probably close by preaching and allowing the guys to fellowship in the Christmas program. And then we're looking to start kicking off Our God is Alive here with Chaplain Ayler, and the group here at the LeBlanc unit starting in January. So I'm going to stop right now before I talk about more of the program to allow Tanya to talk and Mike to talk.
Oh, thank you, thank you. And we're going to come back with just some questions we want to ask you regarding some of the program that, that's involved in this ministry. Tanya.
Good morning again.
Yes. Now Tanya, being a part of this ministry, women, they have very unique, they have different things that they have to face. That's from men. What does you bring into the ministry that can relate to the women and say, our God is alive, our God is alive? But sometimes people feel like they left out. What are you able to share in this ministry regarding that portion?
Amen. The reason why I'm connected with the ministry is because I have personal experience. My husband was in prison, and that's how we actually got involved in the ministry in the first place. After he came out, that's when we got connected with Exodus Ministries, and just working through the program, I realized the importance of what we're doing here with Our God is Alive, or what God is doing through us here, because I've had the personal experience. God has just been so amazing. The programs that we're putting into place are going to help to restore them. And as far as I'm concerned, I have a burden, you know, for the women who have been where I am or what I've been through. And so I just plan to be there, you know, how God leads me. My area of expertise, so to speak, is in marketing. And so I just plan to bring those elements to the table. Of course, I've done counseling and connected with the women as the director of programs one-on-one. So, you know, I really understand the burden, what they go through, and just helping them to stay focused and understand that God should be at the core of everything that we do. You know, don't allow the distractions, the things that we've been through, the challenges that we're going to face going forward to keep us from believing, you know, that God can restore us completely. So I'm just open to doing what God would have me to do right now. There's so many components that I'm excited about. One of the things that I spoke with Eric about was the importance of nutrition. And I got called to a fast for the very first time about 3 years ago, the Daniel fast. And so that's one of the things that I plan to implement as we go forward, just teaching people the importance of eating healthy, you know, eating clean. And we can do, we can want to do or have the desire to do the work of God or to want to move forward and do the things for our families or want to serve. But if our bodies are not able to do it, then we can't. So that's another component that's really important to me, that I know that a lot of times we can reach out, you know, to agencies, and though they mean well, sometimes the food that they give is really not healthy. And so I want to help to teach people how to make healthier choices. And I won't go on and on, but that's one of the things that I'm really, really passionate about.
Well, you put your phone on.
You know, Ms. Moore, as you were sharing it, I do a women's ministry, jail ministry, jail, juvenile, and so on. And I realize that some of the women are facing some difficult challenges as they get out. They're facing some of the same things as men are facing. They're facing homelessness. I do street ministry, and I occasionally see some of these women that we minister to in jail, and they're on the street, and they have no place to go. And so we need women to step into, you know, to step up and step in the gap to encourage other women that God can still use them. And you were talking about the food, and I realized that nutrition, a lot of times we're suffering from so many different ailments in society here, and I thank God that you have a vision and a desire to interrupt that cycle. And I always say interrupt that cycle because it's a cycle of sin and shame, and I'm really mindful and excited about men and women that's willing to interrupt that cycle of sin in people's life, because someone did it for me. I didn't get it overnight. I lived a crazy life, man. Again, God turned me around, and I'm able to go out and share with other people. That's why I show it about being free on the inside. And you and the ministry team, y'all had that freedom. Had that freedom to do what God asked you to do without being hesitant and not being reserved about it, because you got that. You had that boldness. It takes boldness to go out and share this gospel with someone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. So I just intend to be that, you know, to be that vessel that God can use along with the rest of the team. And I'm open, you know, flexible to doing what God has called me to do. You know, sometimes we can do many things, and I believe that He allows us to be exposed to many things so that we can be flexible when He needs for us to be that. So I look forward to standing in the gap with these women and their husbands, because it's challenging, but yet, again, we can overcome. We are overcomers through Christ Jesus.
Yes, we are. So well spoken. Mike.
Yes, brother.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Great. Thank you, brother. You know, Mike, me and you go way back. I met you and Eric at at the home going to one of the guys, one of our ministry members here went on, but he encouraged me to be strong in the Lord. And when I saw you and Eric, man, and I knew y'all passion for what y'all was doing, it allowed me to go a little further, man. Now tell us about this ministry and what it's doing in your life, and what are you attempting to do this ministry?
Thank you so much. And if I sound a little stuffy, sorry, I'm battling off a cold right now, so I'll try to avoid any coughing fits. But anyway, what we're trying to do in this is the website will be officially going January 1st. It's about half done right now if you go out and look at it. But the goal of the website is to be twofold. One, obviously, how to get in contact with us or any of the coordinators, David, Pastor Vaughn, Tanya, Ted also is on right now, but Ted. And one of the things that's going to be is there's areas of expertise. What are the areas that they can help, or that they're helping with Our God is Alive in more than anything. So that website's going to define that. The other thing it's going to define is one of the pages is called Resources, and that's where I want to start listing out all these various agent or ministries that, like David has a bunch of these. Eric has a bunch of these as well. I've got a couple. New Life Behavior that I'm working on is just a general course-based 13-session course. There's about, I think, 20 different courses in it on how to get your life back in under God's, you know, umbrella. Bound in Christ, as I was listening to Tanya, I realized we've got a real – Eric and I both know Liz Compton. Liz's husband went into prison. She started a Bound in Christ ministry that is, it's an outreach just to the women for them to meet monthly and have dinner and stuff like that while their men are in prison. You let them know that they're not alone. So, Tanya, I wanted to try to get you and Liz together and see if maybe that would be a good thing. But that's the stuff we want to start getting listed out on the website. And part of it, I'd like, while we're on here, we've got another 30 minutes or so, is I'd like for David to give his list of things that the resources we want to get on the website. I know it's going to blow up past everybody real fast, so don't worry about trying to write them down. We're going to have them on the website for people to get on and be able to who to contact, what these resources can provide for them. Because it's one of the things as workers in Christ's mission here that, you know, sometimes we just need resources. We need more people to be able to bring in and help us out with various stuff, you know, because we can't be everything for everybody. So that's where God fills in the gap, is He helps us and gives us resources and gives us people at the time we need those people. And that's what we're really hoping this website is going to be.
And so I'm looking at the website right now, and some of the helpful links there I really like. It said financial advice to ex-convicts in the Project Rio and Victorious Overcomers and New Life Behaviors. I love that. I love that, man, because there's information that we can use. That's information that's available for people.
Exactly. And what Eric and Pastor Vaughn have really been – what the epiphany was after we started talking was, we need to hit these people on all sides. Like Pastor Vaughn said, we need to cut this off at the roots. So how can we start helping people? You get out of prison. Eric's now 15 years now. Eric has a degree in economics, a master's degree in business administration, MBA, and he still gets turned down for jobs right and left because he's an ex-felon. It's just irritating to me to see someone out for 15 years and still having to pay the price for this. He's laughing because I get it so ramped up. Anyway, so we need to give the people the tools to get on their feet at the time they need to get on their feet, so that they can continue and not fall back into this pit that they get themselves into. So that's my area, and I'm going to have to stop now because my throat's starting.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, great. Well, I say, well, thank you. Thank you, Mike, for sharing that there. And we're going to take it back to David. But before we do anything, we have a guest on the line, and we're going to bring them in just to – they may want to have some questions, just give you, a word of encouragement. As we're opening up the line. Good morning, guest. You're on the net. Good morning, guest. Well, okay, I guess they just want to listen in, so that's okay, though. You do have the option to listen in as you call into the program. That number is 310-982-4126. You have two prompts, one to listen to the program and one to get involved, to join in the conversation. So we pray that you've been informed and encouraged by what you're hearing this morning. And then the option is still open, so if you want to join the conversation, you can still tab in. Okay, we're going to keep that line open for you. Now, David.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Mike was just sharing with us some things concerning the website, and he said some things that you would like to be able to put on the website that's available for those that are going to it that's needing some help and some resources. Would you care to share that with us?
Yes, sir. One of the things that we're looking to do with God is Alive is to be able to put together a comprehensive program that we feel that we can do with prisons as well as detention centers, and then be able to share with guys and ladies the different kinds of things that they may need to succeed in life. One of the core things that we want to talk about as we bring God is Alive to these different facilities is that we want to do finance. We want to talk about balancing a checkbook, managing money. We want to talk about personal development as well as professional development. We're able to use Journey to the Cross, Making Peace with Your Past, Character Building, Bridges to Life. And in some instances, we may have to do GED or Plato. Eric said that we also want to be able to teach everyone public speaking. And then as well as Tanya has put out, we need to also deal with nutrition. The other thing that we need to be concerned with is helping people find jobs, that we might be able to partner with Texas Workforce Commission as well as Project Rio, that we might be able to put all our resources together to partner to help, again, men and women with interviewing skills, preparing resumes, what's all involved in getting a job, and then possibly partnering with some of our donors to be able to come in and provide professional help and actually allow some of their executives to come in and talk to some of our men and women. And then resource location. We want to partner with the reintegration groups of the various cities that people go to. In the LeBlanc unit, we're very fortunate because we have guys going to Dallas, we have guys going to San Antonio, El Paso, the Valley. Well, you mean there's just cities everywhere. But in terms of resource location, being able to help guys get state IDs, birth certificates, clothes, bus passes, free cell phones, and even food stamps. So, again, we have to list reintegration programs that we have partnerships with. And then Eric was saying that we need to be focused on having one-on-one mentoring type deals whereby we talk about using a cell phone, the first trip to the supermarket, maybe property management and barber salon skills. And then we talk about family building. We're already working with James Guerrera and the Mercy Hearts group out of Dallas, and then Mom does a deal, the James Dobson piece, Total Transformation. And then once we're able to set up these kind of classes behind the fence, beyond the fence, we want to have weekly meetings where we talk about quality housing. What's acceptable? Where can you go? If you have a monitor, how can we help you? If you have a different kind of case, what can we do to bring you in? Getting and keeping a job. Also teaching guys how to use a cell phone. Transportation. Real funny story. Guy said he was going to pay his citation, but the problem is that he didn't know how to read the bus route. And he followed somebody, and he didn't ask questions. And when he purchased his ticket, he purchased his ticket for the wrong bus, knowing it was going the wrong way. So he got on the bus that he was supposed to get on, However, he wound up getting a citation because he had not purchased the proper ticket. So we understand that guys as well need help with reading transportation deals. And then also, as I'm moving on, I'm getting ready to wrap this up, Eric, being able to do substance abuse, whether it's through overcomers and anger management through aggression replacement training and using some of the new life behavior courses that we might be able to have a cohesive unit statewide that we're teaching the same, that we're saying the same thing. It's really interesting when you start talking about ministry and people helping. Some people have zeal, but we as the heads of this, we got to be able to have something where we're in common and something that everybody is looking at that we can follow. I was challenged by Eric the other day. He said, David, if you would just believe the stuff you preach, you would be okay. And so I've been reviewing something that I'd written a while back entitled What Really Matters. And it's just to know Christ in the fellowship of his suffering. And when you start to care for the needs of others, God will then truly begin to bless you. And so we're just excited about trying to put something together that can be implemented everywhere and can help change lives of people who need help. And I think it's just good that we just come together and just begin to allow God to use us in different ways. And one quick story, Eric, and then I'm done. A couple of years ago, we were helping a young man put together his nonprofit to come home, and it was our hope and desire to see that thing go well in Houston. And for what we had done in terms of preaching and ministering and trying to help him develop his plan, he did leave the facility and was reunited with his family. But 3 months after his release, we found out that he was no longer with us and he had actually passed away. And it was from that experience that we realized that we don't only send men home, we prepare men to go home.
Oh, amen. That's powerful. That's so true. Amen.
So
amen. That's great.
Here.
That's great. Dave, man, that was some powerful stuff there. But you said some things that is really poignant, and I experienced those things that I worked through ministry, that a lot of men have been incarcerated so long and that they unaccustomed to things. And I share with our young men, our juvenile, that, you know, they're experiencing the video games and the luxury of life now. But if they get taken away, those things become a dream or just a memory. You incarcerated 25 years. Imagine what things will be like in 25 years. You got to come out. You got to re-educate yourself. The same streets you grew up on are no longer there. You know, and so those are some things that we have to face. I'm glad that y'all see that, because as men come out, and I meet guys that say they're terrified. They say, I'm scared to death, man. It ain't like it used to be when I was out here. I don't know what to do. I want to go back. And I said, my brother, you don't want to go back. You have a future. And I'm glad to see that y'all are giving these men and women futures, giving them hope.
Well, Joel, this is Eric here. One of the things that's really important, I'm being quiet because I told everybody that one of the things you do is learn to sit back and be quiet and let God do God. But one of the things I wanted to just emphasize was that we need to realize, just like you said, the story that's funny is that I walked across the street and almost got hit when I first came home because I thought I was on the yard and I didn't pay attention to the cars, because there aren't any cars on the yard. When the yard is, for people that don't know, is the whole bullpen area of the prison. So you can walk around, you never see your car, so you never have to worry about getting hit. But the essence of our God in life goes even further than what we're talking about. We're talking about financial literacy. We're talking about budgeting. We're talking about one-on-one. We're talking about a lot of things. But the issue is really, what does that person need? And we can't tell you what you need. Only you can tell us what you need. Only you can tell us what your dreams and desires are. You know, and because of that, I realize that a lot of people are being told what to do, and when they come home, they go back to doing whatever it was that they were doing that was wrong because they had no inclination to do anything different than what they're doing. You know, what we are, as our God is alive, is a facility to facilitate. And I know that sounds redundant, but a facility to facilitate those who are in need, those who have a passion to live their life, but they don't know how to live it. I don't know anybody that woke up as a child and said, you know, first thing I'm going to do is be a criminal. Second thing I'm going to do is be homeless. You know, I don't know any veterans, and this isn't just for felons. I don't know any veterans that went to the different wars and came home and decided, hey, when I get home, I'm going to be treated poorly. And then when I get treated poorly, and this is just my own way of looking at it, when I get treated poorly, I'm going to live on the streets. And when I live on the streets, that's what I want to do. So we have to start looking at people and say, okay, how do we get a holistic approach to helping them? How do I help their children? Because the children obviously are reflecting back on their parents. Mike and I in Dallas Youth Village, a lot of times the young people tell us, I don't care nothing about going to prison. My dad went to prison. My granddad was, my cousin was in prison. My grandmother's home. My mother's in prison. Everybody, other than the grandmama, everybody's been to prison or gone to prison or is in prison. And so you start realizing, okay, how do we cut this one off, you know? And then you start to say, well, that's because we don't have family-oriented programs. You know, I'm talking about when a person comes home from prison, and I know how I felt. I felt like I was lost, ostracized, out of pocket, and didn't understand a thing going on because everybody looked at me differently. And if they weren't, I felt like they were. So with Our Guys Alive, what we've done is said, okay, we need to have the family. We need to have the children. We need to have the wives. And see, wives go to prison too, you know. And so it's not just like that because the husband comes, husband's there waiting on the wife, and the wife is looking at him, and he's trying to figure out what she's been doing. She's trying to figure out what he's been doing. And so we need some places where the people have open interaction and counseling. Some guys, like you said, have been in prison 15, 20 years. They don't even know how to manage their budget. You know, we teach them in prison, but then we need to walk with them outside of prison. I have a friend who right now has been trying to find a house. He has a great job. And Mike, you know who I'm talking about. He has a great job, okay, really great job. It took him a long time to get the job, but he got it. He's a diligent worker. He's doing well. But every time he has to move, he has to call me and say, do you know some place or somebody that helped me get into a place because I'm an ex-felon? And so after getting all these types of phone calls from all these different types of people, I started realizing the biggest problem we have is what we don't do, not what we do. And what we don't do is we don't walk with people. You know, Jesus walked with everybody. He walked with his apostles, and the apostles were sent out two by two, and they walked with people, and they helped people in their life. You know, I always find it interesting when he came back and he told them to throw a fishing net on the other side, okay? Because they've been fishing all day and didn't catch anything. But they did it anyway. Because he was showing them, you know, we say, well, that was him showing them that he was Jesus. But he was also taking care of a need because the fishermen fish. And if they don't bring any fish in, they don't have any money to eat. Just simple. Okay? And so that tells me that we, as the children of God, have to be a little bit more diligent in what we do. We go to church on Sunday and we bring people to church. And that's another thing, excuse me, let me digress, and then I'm going to give it back to Mike and Tanya and especially Pastor Ron and David. I have a young man who got out of prison. First thing came out of his mouth, I think I told you about Joel, was, I need to go to a church. And he does. The problem is, he doesn't have a church. He doesn't even know what church to go to. Okay? Now, he's been going to church in the prison, every Sunday, Wednesday, and whatever other study program days they have. And he's been going faithfully and diligently for the last 6 years. Now he is in a situation where he is at home and he doesn't have a church. Now you say, well, what about his people? They don't have a church either because they don't go to church. But he wants to go to church. He wants to be the spiritual head of his family with his mother and his wife and everybody. But he doesn't have a church to go to. And to me, that's a shame. You know, we need to be able to help there too. You know, I just told him whatever church is around the corner from where you live, go to it. I don't care what it is. I don't know how it's called, what language they use. Go to that church and ask God to give you the wisdom, open up your heart and knowledge, and give the preaching and the preacher the word for you that it may be just for you, but that you learn what God wants you to learn from that day. And so we have a lot of parts, Joe, a lot of parts. But it's not us, because the Bible says it's that we fitly join together. And I like that word. I've always liked that, fitly, because it always sounds weird to me anyway. But we do. Where, you know, the eye can't see, the head can't see without the eye, and I couldn't even be running my mouth as much as I didn't have lips to talk. You know, I can't walk without my feet. So we need all the parts to make the whole man and the whole woman and the whole family, you know. And that's what this is about. That's what our God is alive about. We want to have a whole person. We want a person to be able to walk down that street and not just reintegrate into society, but to be a complete person who knows who they are and feel comfortable and have, and with the love, the mighty love of God. And so I'm going to go in and let Pastor Vaughn talk or Mike talk because see, Pastor Vaughn got shut up because he said he was going to be quiet today. You know, but he is.
Well, y'all are doing a great job. I am. You know what? I'm sitting here. I'm making notes of what's been shared with us, man. And I want you to continue to do what you're doing. I want y'all to post all this stuff on your website. I'm looking at your site now. And to me, it's encouraging. But yet, what y'all share with us is even more encouraging. You know, and what God has put in your heart, man. God has put these different things in your heart to come together, man. And I love that, man, because I do ministry. It breaks my heart that people say, I don't know what to do when I get out. I don't know, you know, I can't go to a place. I don't feel comfortable going to church. I do street ministry. And I found out that the people who get out of jail were going to the street. And then I said, hey, you know, God is right there too. But God is going to lead you. Just have an open heart and a mind. And God is going to put people in your life, ministering angels, which looks like you. They talk like you, but yet you know that they're not you. They're not even like you, but they're going to encourage you because we. And let's face it. Everyone on this that's a part of this ministry team, the people that they don't see us, but they see the God in us, right? Because each one of you have different talents and different gifts, but it ain't your talents and gifts. And they send how you interact with them and how and your relationship with God. And they say, hey, I want to be that. I want some of that. And I want that same God that's keeping you going. I want that same God that you profess and our God is alive. And I hear about it, but I don't see it. You know, a lot of times people say, I want to see how you act, you know, during difficult times. And that's something that as your ministry team was coming together, I was thinking about you sharing with me a financial, how to handle your money, how to change your behavior, how to eat right. I want to see these things here that's available for me, and I want to see those things in action. And I thank y'all for this. Really, I am encouraged by it. But I want to hear from Ted here because we're getting ready to wind down here. We got a few more minutes on the program. But now I would just like to take a moment to make this personal. Why would this here ministry be so important to you? Because let's face it. You know, sometimes this, you know, ministry is, it gets taxing. Ministry gets frustrating. but yet, you've been called for a particular task. And what tell me now, what makes you do what you do day after day?
Well, honestly, how y'all guys doing this morning?
Hey, Ted, good morning.
Good morning. This is my first time working with a prison ministry. I've been doing feeding the homeless, okay? I have a passion just to help. I'm just here to help. I just want to help and feed the people. God has blessed me, and I know every day when I wake up, it's only the grace of God that I'm still here. I haven't never been in prison. I haven't never been inside of a prison. But when I talked to Eric on Monday, when he told me about the program, told me to call in and listen to what he was putting together, and I told him that night as I got the call, I was going to pray about it and ask God, was this a movement for me that I need to be involved with it or whatnot? And so I believe it was Wednesday. I called you when I was driving, and something had to me, and I was like, well, we can put this program, this together to help the offenders when they get ex-offenders when they get out. And so I told him I didn't want to call them ex-offenders, so I just wanted to. Because when they get out, you know, I know your past is your past, but once you come back on this side, you're just a whole new person. So, like I said, God has blessed me. I'm just being honest. As young as I am and everything I've seen around, I just know it's the grace of God as well. I just want to help. That's it.
Oh, that's powerful, bro.
That's it. I mean, I know the past couple of years, me and Eric have been up and down, and I know what God has done for me and still kept me here, so... I just want to get back. That's it.
Hey, that's what it's all about. Miss Moore.
Yes, sir.
Yes, now what makes you keep doing what you're doing? Because I think it's very important for our listening audience to know that it isn't just you. that it's more to you than just your skills and talents. So share with our listening audience why you keep doing what you do in this type of ministry.
Absolutely. You know, this call has been so wonderful for me this morning. I'm so overwhelmed and actually full of, just have tears in my eyes right now, because this morning I woke up and I tell you, the enemy will come against you if he can, if you let him. And I just thank God for Eric Pinnock, because I reached out to him and I was, you know, expressing my heart, letting him know that I just have this pounding headache. And he said, no, Tanya, God wants to, I mean, the enemy is trying to block what God is going to do through us today. And so, you know, when I sit here and I think about, you know, all the people that are listening to this program, and sometimes we tend to get in our own way or allow the distractions to keep us from doing what we know God is tugging on our hearts to do. So I would just encourage anybody who just, if you just feel compelled to be a part of what we're doing, or just want to, you know, pray for us, or just whatever you feel led to do, just allow God to do that through you, because this ministry is going to bless a lot of people. What keeps me going is just that. You know, God reminds us that no matter how ineffective, inefficient we may feel, how unworthy we may feel, I mean, this journey will, it'll take everything that you have out of you. I have had to face recently, you know, the fact that I didn't realize that at times I was ashamed, you know, of my testimony, of what God had brought me through. And I recently relocated to Dallas, and Eric was the very first person I reached out to. And I didn't know why I was calling him. I thought I was calling him to you know, to say hello, find out how he's doing. And God had a whole different mission in mind. And so that's the thing that keeps me going. That's the thing that keeps us pressing on, you know, to do what he has us to do, because it's not about us. It's about what he's doing in and through us, and those of us who have the heart to serve him. You know, God's worthy. He's faithful. And he'll bring it all together. And we'll realize that it's so much better than what we thought we were doing. Anything that we thought that we could do.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. We thank you tonight for listening in to Brother Lewis tonight, speaking with the ministry Our God is Alive. That is part of what we also do as my sister, my friend. I would like to let you know to join us next Monday night. We will have a live show next Monday night, in which we will be giving you tips on holiday shopping and safety tips. And also we'll have a good friend of mine on, who will be discussing her foundation called Delicio, I believe I am pronouncing that correctly, telling about the underprivileged children in Africa and what her foundation is all about in helping them. So please join us next Monday night from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and tune in to our guest that we will have. Her name will be Phoebe Jackson, and we will come to you live on next Monday night from 8 to 9 o'clock. Thank you for joining us tonight. God bless you. Good night.